a gala is always something incredibly special, and I think you have to be really happy about this. I mean, there are a lot of amazing artists coming in. I know a lot of them are your friends and have been, you know, in productions of your work. How is it to bring all this together?
I'm very, really, very excited. It's been a very long process, a long road, and so it's the excitement is really kicking in now that all the stars are arriving tomorrow, and we go into rehearsal, and it feels great. I'm very excited about the program, and I can't wait to hear it, because it's a mix of, it represents the kind of opera company, the repertoire, and the level, artist level, and the quality level that I think that San Antonio deserves for the highest end performing arts center in Texas. So I'm very excited about this, and I can't wait to hear it all come together.
I know there's a little bit of everything in this program, and they all come together towards the end and do some Bernstein, this wonderful work from Candide that's quite poetic.
Make your garden grow.
Yeah, which may be a nice sentiment for the end of a gala and looking forward to, you know, a season with productions.
Well,
it really is
a metaphor for San Antonio making its garden grow in the performing arts, because it must, and we must have an opera company worthy of the seventh largest city in America, and grow it.
Yeah, it's
and make it grow.
Yeah, yeah, because it previously the company did not. You know, what are some of your plans to, you know, help sustain this and look forward to the Tobin Center?
Some of our plans, in terms of,
the last opera company went bankrupt. They were here for a while. That person is now doing, you know, something else. They tried to, you know, do some other things, and they failed here in San Antonio. Dallas, you know, is a fabulous place that has premiered some of your operas and co-commissioned things. And Houston has a very
Therese Rickman.
Well, it hasn't worked here, and I mean the symphony's had problems.
It has.
My question is, yeah, what are your hopes, and what are you plan? What are some of the plans to make this grow?
In order for a company, a new opera company to be born in this era, it has to be different. It has to be non-generic, and San Antonio is a non-generic city, if ever there was one, and it needs a non-generic opera company. It does not need another generic opera company, of which there's so many in this country. It does not need another company that just plays the top 10 and nothing else, because the audience for that is dying. You need to bring in young people. We need to bring in new audience, and we need to bring in operas that are not just the old favorites. We certainly don't shun them, and we love them, and we still want them, but in exciting new productions with great world-class singers, and we want to do operas that are that have appeal to the people of today, to people who live here, that have relevance and that connect to modern day culture. If you just do Donizetti and Puccini and Verdi in the 21st century and nothing else, how can you survive? Especially with so much going on in the rest of the world that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, the Metropolitan Opera has done two John Adams operas. They've done, since Peter Gelb took over, they've done Philip Glass's Satyagraha twice, was sold out completely both times. People are hungry for something that's not you know, staid and boring and old and dingy. They want something that's exciting and edgy. And I think that's how, that's one of the ways that you build a new company artistically. I think that they're, from the point of view of sustaining it, I think that that goes in hand, hand in hand with developing the financial resources of the community, because the community, once it takes pride in having something that nobody else has, if this company succeeds, it will be unlike any other company in the country. I'm sure of that. Even just on the face of it, there is no other opera composer who's artistic director of an opera company in America. Even in Europe, it's very rare. So if the city embraces the concept of having an opera company that's not just, you know, brand X, but something very special that everyone in the country is going to be talking about, which they're starting to already in New York and other places that I go, and where that this, when people realize this can be a destination for opera lovers from all over the country and other places in the world, I think people will they'll do anything to make it grow. And make the garden grow.
I know you have a wonderful experience having worked in Houston as their composer in residence. I know there's been premieres in Dallas and commissions from there. So it's got to be nice to come back to Texas. Although, I mean, this is new for San Antonio. You're coming back to Texas.
Yes, I can't get away from Texas ever since for 28, almost 30 years. I've had roots. I put down roots in Texas. I came to Texas in 85 as composer in residence for the Houston Symphony, and it took a little while to put roots down, but I did. And I still have roots in Houston. And then, thanks to the Dallas Opera, I have a relationship with Dallas, and Texas is a part of me. Now, so San Antonio is the newest part. Though I did visit here when I was in Houston once, and I gave a talk or something long time ago. But I love coming to San Antonio because to me the downtown, the Riverwalk is a very romantic, and it really sets it apart from the other cities in Texas.
If someone's not familiar with opera and they hear about this gala, what do you recommend, and how would you describe the evening for them?
Well, if you're not familiar with opera, then my telling you that the greatest living opera stars in the world are coming to our city to sing for you on Thursday night probably isn't going to make much difference. And my telling you that nothing like this has ever happened before in San Antonio, there were great singers who came here starting in right after the Second World War and for about almost 40 years, but that stopped in the early 80s. But there's never been a gala of a lineup of eight, you know, opera star, great singers and young rising stars like this in San Antonio before. This would be rare for Chicago or New York. It's something that you might get there, but a gala in Chicago and New York, the program, I doubt would be as interesting and exciting as this one but I think that if you don't know opera, if you love music, then the reason to come is because you're going to hear some of the most beautiful music that's ever been written in the history of the world. I mean, Vizzi d'Arte from Tosca with Patricia Rissett, who sung it at the Met and La Scala and all over the world, is something that when you hear it, that's something you may never forget. And the Madame Butterfly, we do have some real classic very famous arias. But this is some of them. All, every single piece was selected because of its beauty and because it's some of the most beautiful music ever written. And I cannot really think of a better reason to go to a concert than to hear a collection of music that of short pieces. They're all short pieces that were selected based on how beautiful each one is and how they all fit together and contrast with each other. So I don't think you have to know anything about opera to enjoy this program. I think it will be a magical evening from the very moment it starts. And Patricia Racette sings Ain't It a Pretty Night from Carlisle Floyd's Susanna, who's one of the two living American composers on the program. We had three, but one of them just died. He was 95, so it wasn't a tragedy. But Susanna is one of the most performed opera in the history of America. And Ain't It a Pretty Night is one of the most beautiful arias. It stands with the most beautiful arias ever written. And when she comes out and starts to sing that and the stars come out on the ceiling of the Majestic, I think it will just be a magical evening that people will be sorry they missed when they hear about it from their friends.
Now,
are you coming?
I am coming. Oh, yeah. No, all my friends are in the orchestra. It's going to be good stuff.
It's also, you know, it's also something I think it's for people who don't know opera, they might, or don't like it, or they may not like symphony either. But it's not, I don't believe that classical music or opera is an elitist art form. It's for the people, opera especially is for people, and that's why most of the subjects of these operas are based on are about, for the most part, about people like you and me. And so there's much more to it than just going to a symphony concert, because there's an element of theater. We have lighting, and we have people coming and going, and it won't feel like a concert. It will feel like something completely different, and on a level on a level that nobody here has seen here in San Antonio before.
Will there be super titles for the arias and whatnot?
Yes,
folks will
be
able
super
to
titles. So, and that makes it for those who don't like opera because they don't know what anyone's saying. That is no longer a problem since super titles were invented, and you can follow along the words and know exactly. And it really enhances the experience for the opera goer. I write operas, and I've written five, and when I go to the opera, I use the super titles because I don't know all the words by heart. And even though it's the, you know, you go theoretically for the music, it enhances the musical experience to know what the hell they're saying, singing
yeah.
about. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people, if they've seen Star Trek II, will appreciate Star Trek Into Darkness a little bit more. You don't have to, but if you know the duplicity of this sort of thing. The same thing when he's forging a sword and he's singing along and you know a little bit about Siegfried, it makes a little difference. You know, you might get those goosebumps or, you know, the hair might raise up.
Yeah, I remember going to the opera as a kid and it was very difficult. I was a very musical child and even maybe in a small way a prodigy, but it was very hard for me having to sit there for so long and not know what the words were. And the words have become so much more important since we have super titles. And we also have, in the opera world, become much more vigilant about opera singers' diction and being clear so that maybe you don't even always have to look at the super titles, especially when they're singing in English. But even in English, you still, it doesn't hurt to have them.
Yeah, and I mean, when you have an actor like Eric Owens, who's there. I mean, it's no longer just a Spear and Magic helmet from the, you know, cartoons and the fat lady singing. I mean, when you have an actress like Dolores Zajac, you know, it makes a huge difference, I think.
Well,
these
when
days
you,
too.
I guarantee that if nobody will need super titles for Eric Owens singing Old Man River. And if you don't like opera or classical music, you should come just for the experience of hearing Eric Owens sing Old Man River, because that'll be amazing.
Two more questions for you. I wanted to ask, and you mentioned that, you know, you're a composer and you've composed operas and whatnot. Is that something that you think is a real boon as an artistic director here of the company, or is it something that you can commiserate with? I mean, composers to me have always had a mixed relationship with companies. You know, if there's problems with directors and especially premieres and all sorts of things that comes in, is that your experience as a composer, do you think that's a real boon to now become the artistic director of TOSA?
A boon to me or to San Antonio or to
either way
or to who or what?
Maybe a boon to San Antonio to have a composer at the helm.
I think it is a boon. I first of all, as a composer of opera, and I write music for opera is theater music. It's opera for the theater, and I come alive in the theater. It's hard to put that into words, but whenever one of my operas is produced, especially if it's a world premiere or a premiere in a different country, I'm always very involved in the production of it, because I've always been very interested in what goes on behind the scenes and how it's all put together. So I have colleagues who they're not interested in any of that, and they don't really understand how it's done. Others do, you know, are like me, and they're very into every aspect of it. So I've always been involved in as much as possible in the putting together of actually putting on the stage the opera that I've written. And so for me personally and professionally, it's a natural thing to do. It feels like a natural thing to enhance that, enlarge that involvement with a company that I'm not just visiting. The advantage for San Antonio is, as I said earlier, that it's completely unique. There isn't, no other city has a composer of operas, a composer who's written, well, there's no other city that has an opera composer as its artistic director in America. Not much less one who's written operas for the Metropolitan Opera in San Francisco and Santa Fe and others. So I know, I have a point of view as actually a practitioner of the art form, creating operas and creating roles for singers and stories for designers to help tell the story. So I have the point of view as of the creator. It's a completely different thing. We'll see if it turns out to be an advantage for the city, but I hope it's a boon for the city that they have a real live opera composer who's a artistic director of their company.
Yeah,
I hope.
Yeah, well,
it is quite. I mean, can you think of another city that has one?
Not for an opera company, no.
No.
Yeah. So, the classical world works years in advance. Anna Sophie Mutter is booked through 2020. My friend Joyce DiDonato can tell me when she's going to be in Paris and in London.
No, she can't. Your agent can tell you. She can't remember where she's going to be.
True. She can sort of say, oh, I'm going to, you know, have some time in Kansas City, or, you know, Leo and I are going to be in New York. Come see us. But yeah, she doesn't know all the places, but she's booked by her agent years and years in advance. So yes. The Tobin Center's coming up. This gala is, you know, going to be awesome and successful, I know, and going to be good. What's next for you guys? That planning has to go so far in advance. You probably can't reveal.
Well, we're doing, it's already been announced that we're doing a semi-staged production of Rusalka with the San Antonio Symphony for Sebastian Lang Lessing's Dvorak Festival next season. So we're involved in that, and we'll be visible with that, doing something, again, that you can't see when you go to a symphony concert, because it will be a theatrical concert. And so it's that'll be our next step after the concert, you know, a gala concert of stars, then a semi-staged opera on the stage. And then the next season, we are now in the planning stages of what to present in the 14-15 season, beginning until the year 2015. But we're already looking at possibilities and options, and co-producing with important companies around the country. So we're in the early planning stages of that. It's the fact that Joyce is booked till 2020, and a few others are. Your point is well taken, and you know, there will be three or four singers that we won't be able to get in the 14-15 season who are like that, but I guarantee you that they are in the minority. Of course, the ideal is to be able to plan 4 or 5 years out in advance. But of course, when you do that, you run the risk of the singer, you don't know what shape the singer is going to be in 4 or 5 years. I'm not saying that we won't be doing that, but there's a certain upside to getting people who are, you know, on fairly short notice, which this will be, who are available. And there are great singers who do keep some space in their schedule for things to do, interesting things, or who have gaps in their schedule. I don't think the recession is over. Maybe it's over, but you know, not every singer is completely booked. Everyone is as lucky as Joyce DiDonato, but and many of them are heavily booked. But America is producing really amazing singers, and they all need to work. So there won't be any shortage of great talent to bring to San Antonio, and we hope to find some great talent here and in the area.
Yeah. We'll revisit and we'll talk more as things go along.
Even I have for Rusalka next season.
Yeah.
The people that we have on hold, you'd be very surprised that. We just caught them. Of course, it's a short rehearsal period, but you know, it's there. Not everybody is wall to wall singing all the time. So, we'll get the best singer.
Oh, excellent. Well, I want to as things progress, I'd love to have you guys come back and talk a little bit about, you know, what the plans are for an orchestra, for a chorus, you know, some more of the larger scale things. But I don't think that's really important right now.
Well, now it's important. It's important that people come and check us out and see, you know, what is this new opera company, and why should it exist? And then when they come and they can decide for themselves. And I think I know what they'll decide, but this is our first outing, and this is. It's really a gift. It's a gift to the to the public of to the people who love music in San Antonio. And there must be a lot of people here who love music. And there's been a terrific symphony orchestra here for generations, and there's a tradition of great singing in San Antonio going back to Kirsten Flagstad in 1945. So it's anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's very nice talking to you. Thanks for coming in.
Good to talk to you. It's nice to. It's so nice to talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about.